I've broken it. Hello? Yay! The system works. Okay, then. So, I appreciate the little bit extra time to just go, wow, that was so powerful this morning. I think I've spent most of the worship sat on the floor. Thank you for the words. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing already. So this morning, the title of our chunk of the story of Joseph that we're going through is called Dreams, Dreams. And for those of you who haven't been here or don't know, we've been doing a whiz through Joseph over the summer in chunks. And last week, we left him in prison. And before I do the next bit of the story, we will do a quick recap of where we got to, just in case you're not familiar with all of it. But I was thinking about dreams, and I had some interesting dreams as a child. One of the dreams that I had was I really, really, really wanted to have long hair. I had, believe it or not, thick, curly, dark hair, dark brown hair. Not long at all, didn't grow long. I used to put strips of material on and fasten them to my head and kind of have pretend long hair because it just never worked for me. I also wanted to be an air hostess for a while. Exactly. Thanks, Berry. I knew you'd appreciate that one. Actually, Dad said it was like being a glorified bus conductress, so I didn't. And I also wanted to have 100 children. It was kind of about around the time when my third brother was born. And I did a lot of kind of carrying him around on one hip and thought he was really cute and thought I'd have 100 children. I'm really pleased that that dream didn't work yet. But I'm just wondering for you, actually, as a child, or those of you who are still children, what is it that you dream of becoming, or did you dream of becoming? What were your dreams? What did you think about? I know Matt, when he was little, we used to go and do Saturday football a lot. And there was one journey home when he talked about becoming a professional footballer. I think lots of children talk about becoming a professional footballer. I wasn't very encouraging. And as a parent, I think sometimes we can be quite discouraging of our children's dreams. I basically told him he wasn't good enough to play professional football. How to encourage, how to, you know, cheer your son on. Good job. But I wonder, actually, how many of us, those dreams have happened. Joseph had a literal dream. He had two, actually, as quite a young boy. And those dreams were really significant. And we'll have a quick whiz through. This is going to be tricky one-handed, I have to say. I might need a beautiful assistant. Yeah, Matt, you qualify. It's the dream that you wanted. Go. So Matt's going to hold them up, and you're going to tell me, you're going to help me recap the story. So as he holds them up, tell, and you have to kind of do the whole, you know, show everybody. Tell us what bit of the story that is. You can shout it out. Good. Good start. We're on Joseph. Where are we at in the story? What's happening here? He got a beautiful coat. He was a favored son. Actually, if you know Jesus this morning, you need to know that you are a favored child. Joseph had dreams. One of his dreams, there were sheaves of corn that bowed down to his sheaf of corn. And the other dream, he's doing well, is the sun and moon and stars were bowing down to him. And that was so his brothers and his parents bowing down. Surprisingly, that didn't make his brothers love him too much. So they had a bit of a plan. And this was their plan. They threw him down the well. Yep. I have to say, with four brothers, that did occur to me on several occasions. And then, even better plan, since they still had him when he was in the well, they decided to do this with him. Anybody? Yep. They sold him, and he became a slave. Any clues where? In Egypt. Good job. When he got to Egypt, he managed to upset a very important lady. And so this happened next. Oh, good, good, yeah. He ended up in prison. But while he was in prison, because he knew he was a favored son, he carried on serving. And he didn't forget who he was. I wonder what he's praying for. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? I wonder what I'd have been praying for if I'd been in prison. So then while he was in prison, this is the next bit that happened. Cupbearer and the baker, good job, yep. So the cupbearer had a dream about bunches of grapes, and the bunches of grapes were squeezed and Pharaoh started to drink the wine. And what did that mean? He was going to get his job back. He was okay. He was going to get restored. The baker had some loaves of bread in a basket on his head, and the birds came and ate them. What did that mean for him? Yeah, life was not going to be good for him. In fact, life was going to come to an abrupt end for him, and he wasn't going to get his job back. But then, thank you. Good job, beautiful assistant. So this is where we left him, in prison. And we're going to watch the next little bit of the story as a YouTube video. Before we start, I just want to do the disclaimer that says, I'm really sorry if there's a Grammarly advert in the middle of it, or a little pop-up advert, or whatever. Jen will do her best, okay? Or whoever, David, will do their best. We'll just pause while they queue up the YouTube. Okay, you good to go?
Most harshest punishment.
And this will tell us the next bit of the story.
I'm sorry.
Everything Joseph said came true, but the cupbearer forgot to tell Pharaoh about him. Joseph stayed in prison for 2 long years. Then one day,
oh, what a strange dream!
Pharaoh met with the wisest men in his kingdom. Maybe they could understand his dream. But not one of them had an answer. Then the cupbearer remembered his promise to Joseph.
Oh, Pharaoh, there is a very wise man in your prison who might explain your dream. Joseph, I dreamed that I was standing on the banks of the Nile when 7 fat cows came out of the water. Then 7 skinny cows came out of the river. And suddenly, the skinny cows ate the fat cows. What does it mean?
My God is telling you what he plans to do. The 7 fat cows mean that there will be 7 years with plenty of crops and food for everyone. But the 7 skinny cows mean that after that, for 7 years, no crops will grow and your people will have no food.
Oh, this is horrible, terrible.
No, Pharaoh. God has sent you this message so that you can prepare. Build barns to save some of the food that grows in the 7 years of plenty. your people will have plenty to eat.
It is true. You are filled with the Spirit of God. This is the wisest man in my kingdom. We'll build these barns and save our food. And there is only one man who I trust to do such an important job. This man.
And we'll stop there. A good place to stop. Actually, I don't know how well you can see the very beginning, but the bit at the very beginning that really struck me was the bit where the cupbearer and the baker had left the prison, and Joseph was still in prison, and he was marking off the days on the wall, and just on and on, waiting and waiting and waiting. That hope of rescue. He must have initially been thinking, it's okay, the cupbearer will tell Pharaoh about me. And he was waiting, and he was waiting, and no help came. But God was working in the wait, and people do let us down. And we can end up in that place where we're like, it's not fair, and feel sorry for ourselves. But actually, the message today is to hang on in the process. This is not the end of the story. And so at that point, I'm going to let any children who want to go out and do their stuff, you can go and do your stuff. I'm not sure how many there are. A cast of thousands, Pauline? Well, two anyway. Okay. Oh, and the numbers are growing. So we're in Genesis 41. And I started to read through it. I didn't get past the first verse before things hit me. And in the first verse it said, when two full years had passed. And I paused there to think about what were those years full of? Joseph was sat in prison waiting, not knowing if he would ever get out. And it says those years felt full. And I was contemplating what they might have been full of. They could have been full of despair, of self-pity, of anger, of frustration and bitterness. They could have been full of all of those things, and we'd understand why. And actually, God's already been speaking this morning about, in a sense, those broken promises, broken dreams that we had. Sarah talked about when we thought we were going to get a steak and ale pie and we got chicken and mushroom. And for some of us, life has been a bit like that. We had all sorts of dreams about what it was going to be like as a child or even growing up as an adult. And then we got something different. And Pauline talked a bit last week about when life gives you lemons. And sometimes it's not even that it's lemons. Sometimes it's just something different that you hadn't planned for. But sometimes it does feel like a broken dream. For me, I had all sorts of dreams of how life was going to be. And when I got married, I didn't imagine that it would end how it has. I didn't imagine the life for my children that they had. There was a moment when they were quite little. I took Matt and Hannah camping in the Lake District. And there was this moment where we were lying in the tent one night, just laughing together about something. And we were all laughing. And Hannah said, "Mom's laughing." I was horrified at the picture of this family life that was so different from how I wanted it to be. It really hit me. It's one of those kind of memories that, you know, I've had to go back to God with and take him that pain and that disappointment. And this is not how it was supposed to be. That tragedy, that loss of that dream that I had. And over the years, there's been all sorts of impacts from that have made us keep having to deal with things. And I was struck by it again. This week, I sent off the papers to get divorced. That wasn't my plan either. That wasn't what I wanted. And for some of you in here, there's a similar kind of story. But actually, lots of us have broken dreams. Lots of us had things that we thought. I could ask every one of you in this room to stand up if life has gone how you planned it to be. And I know that actually none of you would stand up, because everybody has things in life that were not how you planned. This wasn't the picture that I had. This wasn't what you said, God. This isn't what it says in your Bible. And this is where I am. And it hurts. Often our dreams are to do with relationships, with children, with family life, with health, with our work maybe, or our career, with tragedy and loss, or money, all sorts of things. And we can end up in a situation where it looks like our dream has been broken, and it's painful. Nobody suggests that you should pretend it's not painful. And we've talked a bit this morning about there's a God of hope, there's a God who can restore, and Michael brought that passage from Isaiah 54 about this afflicted city and how God can restore. And yes, he can. But he doesn't want you to pretend that in those broken dreams there is no pain. It's okay to mourn the loss of those dreams. But actually, one of the things we were reminded in... I've been reminded several times this summer in various things I've listened to, but a couple of the preachers at Transform reminded us, is actually it's okay to mourn that loss, but don't stay there. Don't stay in that place of loss. Don't stay in that place of life's broken. Life's not how I planned it to be. This is not what I wanted. God, I'm in pain. Don't stay in that place. Allow God to come and minister, to be, as it said in that Isaiah 54 passage, the one who comforts, the one who restores. And your life, every one of you, is not over. And it's hang on in there in the process. If I got nothing else from Genesis 41, I got hang on in the process. It's not finished. Life is not over. It's not the end of your story. It's easy to say, isn't it? Our Heavenly Father is the God of all comfort. He is the worker of miracles. He is the Redeemer, the Restorer of things that are broken. The one who can mend the punctures. The one who can restore the broken hearts, whatever it is. The one who transformed the cross, that incredible moment of defeat, into a phenomenal moment of triumph. If he can do that, he can do the same for me. And for some of us, it's about looking at our steak and ale pie and going, well, it's not steak and ale pie, it's chicken and mushroom, but is there anything in it I can be thankful for? And actually, there is. There is stuff we can be thankful for. Chicken and mushroom's really nice. It's not the same as steak and ale, but there are things to be thankful for. And so there will be things to be thankful for in your life. And just that process of being thankful for the bits that are good helps us to change our perspective. It's easy to say, hang on in the process, but what are you hanging on to? If we're hanging on to other people, like Joseph possibly was while he was in prison, they could let you down. People do. They might not mean to, but they just forget, or they're just human. So what is it you're hanging on to? Or are you not hanging on? Are your fingertips slipping? There's lots of truth in Scripture to help you hang on. There's lots of promises. And God can give you individual, specific promises just for you. God gives us grace together, to walk together in this. The fellowship of this family was a huge part of what helped me, and the fellowship of family at home, but the fellowship of other believers encouraging and praying for me was a huge bit of what helped me get through some of the stuff I've gone through. We need our own Aaron and her holding our arms up, encouraging us. Prayer helps. Who knew? Declaring God's truth and going, no, I will not go down that line. I will not choose to be bitter. I will not go down that line of anger and hatred and bitterness. God says this. I'm going to declare this and believe this. This is the truth. Joseph had his dream right back at the beginning when he was still at home. He had it twice, in a sense. And there was a purpose in that, to remind him, to reinforce it, to help him to have something to hang on to fight with, to not give up. God had given him a picture of this is what God says about your life. And in that prison, it looked very different. But in reality, that was God's plan for him. God knows, and God knew for Joseph, God knows your world. He knows what your future is. He knows exactly. He has not been surprised by anything that's happened to you. And all of the things, as we were told by Rachel, all of the things that he said are even true in this moment, wherever you are. Whatever the promises are, they're still true, even when it looks black. It's the same God this week as it was way back then. And he knows all about you, but he still has a plan. When Matt was going through a very dark time, kind of a few years back, and it was tough for us as a family. It was very tough to watch. I'm sure it was incredibly tough for him to be in, and some of you have heard him talk about that as his story, but he had moments where he didn't want to live. And I would go to work wondering whether he would still be there when I came home. In all of that, yes, I held on to God. Yes, I prayed. Yes, I declared things. I did all of that. And other believers prayed with me and we stood together. But there were moments when actually what I was saying was, God, you said this about him as a child. This is the picture you gave me. This is what I'm holding on to. This is what you've said about my son. And it's not here yet, so we're not done. And praying for those things that God had said was going to happen. Not what the enemy wanted to do to him, not what his despair and distress and pain was doing, but actually what God said, and praying that that would happen. And he's here, and thank God he is still alive, and he's phenomenally different. And God is amazing. Lisa's story this morning, those are the stories that give us hope, that help us, that encourage us. And so there is hope. Is the message. It's hang on in the process. There is hope. We could go right the way through Genesis 41. I think there's other things in there for you, but I don't want to kind of spoil what God appears to be doing this morning. I want to give time for you to respond to God. But his message for you this morning is that moment at the end where Pharaoh makes Joseph number two in the whole, effectively the whole world, but he puts him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. That moment where Joseph has gone from that immature teenage boy to now God can trust him with all this power and authority because he's been transformed in the process. He hung on. In the process, he hung on to God, he hung on to his picture, he hung on to his word, and he came out the other end. And for some of you, you need to know there's another end. The tunnel does have an end. It isn't going to be black forever. There is hope. It says in Psalm 52, I will put my hope in you because you are good. You have a good Heavenly Father. He knows everything that's going on in your life. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't left you. Nothing has changed about what he says about you. It's all still true. And it says in Isaiah 26, one of my favorite verses, it says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Actually, I think Joseph constantly turned his thoughts back to God. Because otherwise, you go into despair. You He couldn't have served the way he did in prison. He couldn't have been the way he was in prison. If he was thinking about himself and his dreadful situation all the time, he couldn't have been the man he became. If he spent all his time going, poor me, woe is me, I hate my brothers, it's awful. He fixed his eyes on God and said, you said this. This is what's true about me. It's not over until it's over. So hang on in the process. People have been complaining in the last few weeks about the lack of summer. And I've seen lots of Facebook posts about, it's not fair, we've had nothing but rain. And I said to somebody this week, it's not over yet. We haven't reached the end of summer. Actually, I'm hanging on for an Indian summer. They sound quite nice. It's not good for the kids who've gone back to school. So this morning, do you have a dream, a vision, a word, a something that God's given you that you're holding on to for your life? What's it based on? Is it based on what God says? Is it based on some nebulous hope that, well, things will be all right? Or is it God says this? What are you hanging on to? What have you done with those words that God gave you as a child or as a teenager? Have you got hold of them? Have you read them recently? What has he said about you? What is there that's not finished in your life? In Habakkuk 2, it says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. I wonder how far ahead some of you can see. Those words, those promises, those words that we have are like when you're in the car, you can only see so far ahead, can't you? But actually they're saying there's road ahead here that you can't see. They're saying this is where you're going. You can't see it yet because our eyes can't see that far. But God's can. God knows what your future is. And where you look is where you'll go. If you look down at the floor, down at the prison, down at the rats and the dirt and the grunge and whatever of your life that didn't work, it will take you down a hole. But if you look up, if you look forward and you say, God, what have you got for me? What's your plan? What's your purpose? What's your picture? Where are you taking me now? Then you will get to the end of the tunnel. You will get to your Instagram moment with Pharaoh. You will get to all of that. Because we can put our hope in God because he's good. So do you know this God of hope this morning? If you don't, your priority this morning is to go, I need this hope in my life. He's speaking to you. He's saying, here, I'm here. I want to stand with you. I want to work with you. I want to transform your life. I want to be the one who brings you comfort. I want to be the one. I have a plan for your life, and it's good. Are there dreams you've given up on or words you've decided will never happen? It can't have been me. I must have got it wrong. Must have been too much cheese. Have you got broken, crushed dreams that are just really hurting, like those punctures that Leah talked about? Have you got things that are just, you're in the pain? And actually the thought of trying to make lemonade out of the lemons is just too big, too hard, and you can't do it. And you actually need an Aaron and her to come alongside and hold your arms up and pray with you and encourage you and comfort you. Are you in the middle of the process that just seems so long? And the wait is really long, and you've already done at least 400 checks on the wall, and you're still waiting. And you're tired, and hope is hard to hold on to. There's space for you to come this morning and ask God to help you fill some of that, sort some of that. So I pray this morning that the God of hope will fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.